Are you searching for the best in online black radio? Then go to blacktalkradionetwork.com, helping you filter through the noise. Real talk, black talk.
The internet is full of half-truths and all-out lies. We've all seen them, and many people on social media complaining about it. Here's your chance to show improve. WorldAfropedia.com is a black-owned and operated encyclopedia. There are several thousand articles, but we need help. We can't uncover all the truth ourselves. So please, join us and become a writer, editor, or blogger for WorldAfropedia.com today. Every little bit counts. We owe it to the future generations to put the truth out there. Visit WorldAfropedia.com, the African-centered encyclopedia, a global database of African knowledge for the purpose of bringing about global African wisdom and understanding. WorldAfropedia.com.
Neely Fuller Jr., did she often talk to you? Because I know she's spoken about it on the air. So did she often speak to you about the situation with the school encroaching on her premises?
Well, just briefly, because I have talked to Dr. Wilson sparingly down through the last few years. Since 2007, really, we have kept very, very, very little contact. So I only talked to her in passing. But it appears that she was having a health problem, according to what she was telling me, because of her housing situation. Now, that's how she explained it, without going into too much detail, but she said there were some problems she was having with where her house is concerned and where it's located, et cetera, and that as a result, it was affecting her health. Now, in a broad sense, I always say, anytime in the system of white supremacy that a black person is having any kind of problem that that black person should not have, it is the fault of the white supremacists. Why do I say that? For a very logical reason. They are in charge of everything. They're not just in charge of some things. That's what white supremacy means. Now, there are some people say that there's no such thing as white supremacy. The people who say that, well, then that's their opinion and they are entitled to it. But they can't have a very lengthy conversation with me on that premise, because I've already taken the premise that the existence and all of the nine areas of activity that black people, the people of this planet, are engaged in, economics, education, entertainment, labor, law, politics, religion, sex, and war, is all, not some, all dominated by what decisions people who believe in white supremacy, not all white people, but those white people who believe in something called mistreating people based on color, called white supremacy, that's what it is, they are in charge of every move that black people make on this planet. That statement is either true or false, but I say it's true. That's what white supremacy means. It's not something over on the side of the road. I hear black people sometimes say it. I ran into racism this morning. What do you mean? You were born in racism. That's the premise that I take. Now, that's either true or false. And I say it's up to people to decide themselves as individuals whether that statement is true or false. You're born in racism, and every move you make is dominated by racism if you've got color in your skin. That statement is either true or false. Now, Dr. Wilson, I believe, had the same view. So there's no point in talking about Dr. Wilson's legacy if you don't root yourself in that view, because she agreed with that when I would talk to her. So it is very, getting back to this particular thing about her death, of course, the white supremacists will have something to do, either directly or indirectly, even if it was nothing but stress, which is probably brought on what she died from, allegedly, from a stroke. She died suddenly. most of the people who contacted, who I've talked to just prior to her death, said that she seemed the picture of health and really very upbeat. But she also had said to me that she was having stress problems. Now, stress, I have been told, I don't know much about it, can sometimes cause a stroke. It's all types of stress. And if you're black and you're in the business of trying to counter racism, trying to talk about racism, trying to deal with racism, trying to get other people to deal with racism in a way that is helps to eradicate it and replace it with justice, and you kind of commit yourself to that, that sometimes can be very stressful because you can run into all kind of opposition from both white people and non-white people who, either directly or indirectly, like it the way it is, and who really not are just not interested in straightening out things that should be straightening out. And so Dr. Welson was intensely interested, and that can bring about stress. And then when you have people who are countering you while you're trying to do this and making it difficult, either one way or another, financially or in your housing situation or what it is, then you can count that as part of the white supremacist conspiracy. They're the usual suspects. I've always said that.
Context of white supremacy. Gus T. Renegade in for another broadcast, hopefully to share constructive information on the system of white supremacy. Today's date, Sunday, January 17th, 2015. So I have been told. This is our monthly global Sunday talk on racism, white supremacy. Really make an effort to encourage listeners who are in different parts of the planet, different parts of the globe, to chime in. We've had great listeners from all over the world, way back from when we returned to the air in 2009. And really, that's the whole foundation of doing this monthly global talk on racism earlier than our typical broadcast time, so that folks that are in different regions, they can have an easier chance to participate, share their views live. Certainly folks that are in the States, certainly welcome to chime in and participate. But kind of first we go to the folks that are tuning in internationally. They can share their views, and then if other folks have questions or things that they want to share, you can do so as well. If you are listening in, the number to dial is 641-715-3640, and the code is 564-943-pound. Press star 6 if you would like to participate. This is not our typical 3-hour program. This is just quick 90 minutes, so folks can get in, share their thoughts, be concise, right to the point with what you have to share. We'll try to cover as much material as possible. Certainly, we had a lot of our international listeners who wanted to give their thoughts, appreciation for the work of Dr. Francis Cress Welsing. You heard Neely Fuller Jr. At the beginning of the program. That was a program that he did within the last 10 days, just kind of giving some of his thoughts. And I definitely would concur about the stress of working against racism, white supremacy. And Dr. Welsing endured that for about a half century with the time and energy that she dedicated to working against this problem for the last 5 decades minimum. With that on the line with us already, and we will have other folks joining us as the program proceeds over the next 90 minutes or so. But with us on the line already, we have Mary and Mr. Fox, both in the UK. They were both with us before on the program. Mary and Mr. Fox, are you both with us?
Yeah.
Oh, your volume is a little low, Mary. Can you speak up, please?
Oh, sorry, I said yes, I'm here.
Much better, much better. Wonderful to hear from you again. Mr. Fox, you with us as well, sir?
Can you hear me loud and clear?
Yes, sir. Outstanding. Crystal clear. I guess we'll start with the two of you, since you are both on the line. Any thoughts that you wanted to get in about the passing of Dr. Francis Kress Welsing?
I'd say that it's like a body blow, because she's incredibly important, at least to me, because she put a lot of things in perspective that I hadn't even considered before, and it made certain things that happen in life make sense to me. So her passing has been incredibly sad for me, but I remember what she said, and I take it very seriously.
Right on. Mr. Fox, anything you wanted to comment on Dr. Welsing?
Yeah, when I heard the news, it was it's deeply shocking. I couldn't believe it. I heard it through, I think it was either through Tariq Nasheed or yourself, one of the tweets you sent out, and it was like a body blow. Because the amount of work she's actually put in through the past 50 years, dedication to help her people, and then for her to and her passing, and how that passing came about through the problems she had with the school as well. I think it might have been the Jewish school, which I think they were encroaching on them, on her property, expanding the play field or something like that. And they cut down the trees as well, which was supposed to act like a buffer to stop a lot of the noise that the children were going to be making. Stuff like that just makes it even harder. But that contributed towards her health.
Absolutely. No, that's something that she discussed, I know, on this program and several other programs that she's done over the years, and talking about the situation with this daycare center that was disrupting the peace at her residence in Washington, D.C. But I touched on that yesterday. That certainly could be another very personal, painful example for a lot of us in terms of the ways that racist man, racist woman can confiscate black property, if that is indeed what took place in this situation. Before I look to see if some of the other folks that are going to be joining us to share their thoughts on Dr. Welsing and other issues, I know there's been a lot that's been going down in 2016. I know, Mary, you said that confessed, and I think you are not the only one, so it's not like we're indicting anyone, but you had confessed that you had not actually read the ISIS papers as of yet. Is that accurate?
Yeah, that's right. I mean, I hadn't heard of the book before I saw her on video clips. And I was more engrossed in kind of her radio interviews and her appearances, the very few that are memorializing videotape. I was more into listening to that, but then it's I found it very hard to get a copy over here, so I found a black bookseller in the States and ordered my copy. But yeah, you're right, I haven't read it, but I've still got a lot from what she said, and from what I've been exposed to from her work so far.
Right on. Mr. Fox, have you actually read the ISIS papers, or has it been difficult for you to obtain over there as well?
Yeah, same for me. I've never read the book. I've always heard of the book, but then I've always heard people talking about it from seeing the doctor on certain programs and interviews, and especially being on the couch as well. It's more been what I've heard from the doctor is from what I've actually seen, either through interviews and on radio. I've not actually read the book yet.
Right on. As I said, I think it's lots of folks, even a lot of folks in the States, who are in the same position. If anything, hopefully we'll take this time, more folks to be encouraged to read her material. I know it at least for folks that are in the States. I can't speak for folks that are elsewhere in the world, but at least for folks in the States, it shouldn't be that difficult to obtain. I know I have seen her book in like mainstream, what they call mainstream bookstores, Amazon and Barnes and Noble, Borders. I've seen it just on the shelf, like not even something that you would have to order repeatedly over the years. So it shouldn't be too difficult. Although folks did post me within a few days, really, of her passing, that they were seeing people selling her book on Amazon and sites like that for hundreds of dollars, just, yeah, you know, gouging people now that she's passed. Are you going to comment, Mr. Fox? Or?
Yeah, I actually did see myself on Amazon, like £300, £600, very high prices for the book now that she's passed.
To be expected. To be expected.
I think it's incredibly stink to do that because, you know, you should have been helping her when she was still alive. I think that's really sickening.
Agreed. I know people had asked me before, in terms of what's the best way to purchase the book. They were trying to do it in the way that would make sure that the funds would get to Dr. Welsing, and I asked her about that personally. She said that the book is on like Amazon and things like that. She said she did not put it there, but if you purchase it from Amazon, she indirectly does get the proceeds. So I don't know how that's set up now, if it goes to her estate or what the case is, but I know she had said before that, you know, if you see it on Amazon or if it's at a bookstore, as I said, I've seen it in mainstream bookstores, if you see it there, you could just go ahead and purchase it there, and some of the funds from that would trickle back to her account. So I would guess that would still be the way to go. I would probably try to avoid the people that are gouging the price of the book. And as Mr. Fox said, it's up to £300, £600. I know here in the States, I've seen, like I said, several hundred dollars for the book. I would probably avoid that route and just see if you can get it at the price that the listed price, because I think you can get like the paperback edition for, I think, like $20 here U.S. You have to forgive me. I don't know what that conversion would be for folks that are in the UK, but stateside, I think like $20, you should be able to get the paperback for. Let's see. I will nab our caller in Canada, because that is international. Our caller in Canada, did you have a question or comment that you wanted to get in, as I see if I can add some of the other people who are outside the States who wanted to participate as well? Caller in Canada, did you have comments you wanted to get in, or are you just listening?
Sorry, I didn't realize I muted myself. With Welsing's book over on Amazon, we're seeing the same thing in Canada, where everything's inflated. In fact, a lot of folks in the States who do counter-racist work, it's always harder to get in Canada. I'm just lucky that I have some American friends who have PDFs of certain books, and that's generally how I get them. That's all to comment right now.
Oh, right on. Yeah, that is something, as I said, I hadn't really even considered in terms of how much the book is internationally, and even getting counter-racist material internationally, that's something I hadn't really considered, but definitely important. In my view, just another way that racism is manifest.
Yes?
Yes, sir.
Oh, wait, I'm just looking at prices here, because our dollar, as you might know, is taking a hit right now. So I think the American dollar is about 130 Canadian.
Okay.
So we're taking a big hit. So I'm looking at the ISIS papers now. It's not available through Amazon, but like other buyers. So like, I guess, independently selling through Amazon. And we have 65 Canadian dollars as a paperback, used and new. And then you have a hardcover for $900. So yeah, all these inflated prices. There's one Kindle that's $10 if you have a Kindle e-reader. I don't have one.
Wow. So, I guess for listeners, if you have a Mac, I can't speak for people who have a PC, but I know if you have a Mac, you can get Kindle for free. You can just read it on your computer. I think it's just a free download, or it might even come with the software package if you update. I don't recall, but I know it's free to get. It's not a headache, so that's certainly an option that you can take if you know, are okay with having an electric copy of the book. Even the $60 that you mentioned, I guess, from some of these independent sellers, 60 Canadian, that is still a little bit up from what it would be, because to me, that if it's 130, the US dollar is 130 Canadian, that that seems like it would be about 45 US, which seems kind of double what the listed price of the book should be. So still seems like folks making some profit off of
it. Yes, can I help at all? I got mine for about, I think I got it for under $20 including shipping over here. It came to like $30 or something like that, or is it 30? No, it wasn't expensive, and that was from Reality Bookstore. Yeah, black sellers, so that's where I got mine from. Awesome. If that helps.
Awesome. You said Reality Bookstore?
Yeah, let me just, I'll just have a look at my email and I'll just confirm the name for you, if that's okay.
Outstanding. Okay. I'll see if I can add one of our listeners in South Africa who also wanted to share. I'll see if I can add them to the line as well. You all might hear a ring in the background. Hopefully it won't last too long. Greetings. Can you hear us? You are live on the program. Can you hear us okay?
Okay.
Oh, hello? 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 Hello?
Yeah.
Greetings. This is Gus with the Cows.
Okay. How's it, Gus?
We are live on the program, sir. I wanted to make sure that I added you in to our global conversation on racism. Can you hear us okay?
Yes, I can hear you. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, we can hear you clearly now. How do you want to be called on the program? What do you want us to call you?
My name is Kukulechu, so you can use that name.
Could you say it one more time? Speak up for us, sir.
Kukulechu, that's my name, Kukulechu.
Kukulechu?
Yes.
Okay.
Kukulechu.
Outstanding. Joining us live from South Africa for our global talk. You were one of the first folks contacting me and saying that you also wanted to make sure that you were able to share your thoughts on Dr. Frances Cress Welsing, her transition, and just your appreciation for her work. That was kind of how we started the program with some of our other listeners who are in different parts of the world. Just any thoughts that you would like to share regarding Dr. Welsing?
I wouldn't like to say much other than to, you know, express the importance of her work all over the world, not just in the States where she mainly worked from, but her work is actually a global piece of work. And actually, when I take a look at how things are panning out in South Africa, it's almost as if Dr. Welsing was writing strictly from South Africa, as if she had never been to any other country, you know, just New South Africa, and that just proves how global, actually, and how precise her theory was, the Welsing theory was. It just goes to prove that, you know, it was on point, and we just have to carry on doing the work that people like Dr. Welsing gave decades of their lives doing and trying to wake us up. That's all I'd like to say. Thank you.
Right on. Other people, other black people in South Africa, do they reference her work when they're talking about racism, white supremacy?
Yes, there are some. I wouldn't say she's too popular, but yes, there certainly is an awareness. There's a definite group of people who are very aware of Dr. Welsing's work and who definitely, when addressing and trying to solve the problem of white domination, use the tools as taught to us by Dr. Welsing. So, yes.
Right on. global problem. I know she, I'm not sure if she ever made it to South Africa, but I know she did do speaking in Europe. She had made several trips over to London and other spots. I think she talked regularly about going to Germany to study when she first graduated from college. So absolutely, I think that's something Dr. Welsing would endorse and encourage us to continue doing to make sure that we think of this as a local, national, global problem, and keep that dynamic in mind that this is a worldwide phenomenon in terms of white terrorism and what we should be doing to try to go about solving this problem. So we have, I believe, four of us now. We have a caller in Canada, South Africa, and the two folks in from the UK, and other folks waiting. I think Andrew has been with us several times before. I think he should be joining us in a moment or two. And then certainly if there are other folks who called in who have questions. Before I check one of the folks who dialed in on the phone line, anybody else, anything they wanted to make sure they get in before I nab another caller?
Yeah, I've got the details for the bookstore.
Right on.
They're called Reality Speaks Bookstore and Media Center. And their price for ISIS papers was $16.95.
Right on. So that's listed price. That's typically, I think that's what I paid for my copy. That's, you know, what it should be. Priced as it should be, priced correctly. Anything that is over that, in my opinion, is just folks taking advantage of the death of Dr. Frances Cress Welsing and just trying to make some coins off of her passing and extortion prices for getting out constructive material, in my view. But $16.95, Reality Speaks, you should be able to go online and check that out. If I find any other sites where they have a normal price for the book, I will share those as well. Folks, you know, who need a copy, or if you want to get a copy for other people and try to share the material, I would hope people are taking this opportunity to read her material at this point. Before I check our caller on the line, I'll add one other caller in. And then, as I said also, I know there are other things that are happening other than the transition of Dr. Welsing, and folks have other topics that they want to make sure we cover. I know I wanted to ask you all about the these alleged rapes that took place in Cologne, Germany, and the impact that that's having on the discussion of this quote-unquote migrant crisis. That was at least one thing that I wanted to ask you all. But if you all have other topics you want to make sure you discuss, we'll make time for that as well. I'll see if I can add Andrew to the line. And we had one other caller that's in the UK who I think wanted to participate as well. But I'll see if Andrew is available, if he has anything he wants to share on Dr. Welsing before we switch topics here. Forgive the ring if it does ring. Let's see. And while it's ringing, we should be here tomorrow evening, Monday evening. I know here in the States, the Dr. King holiday, Dr. Martin Luther King, is tomorrow. So there'll be a lot of what I would just have to term pitiful ceremonies where whites will practice racism and likely engage in a lot of distortion of Dr. King's legacy and his work against racism, white supremacy. But we will be broadcasting normal time tomorrow evening. We should have a white woman on the program, always eager to have racist suspects join us to get better at questioning whites. And her work, I think she just wrote a letter that was published in the Huffington Post to black people, basically apologizing for white people's terroristic behavior towards black people. But she should be here tomorrow evening. Looks like we're still ringing with Mr. Andrew's line. If it doesn't connect, I'll try again in a second. And as I said, I think we had at least one, perhaps two other people who should be joining us, which is pretty nice to be able to have that many folks, international listeners, join in and share their views. The caller at 2456, while I'm waiting to see if Mr. Andrew's line is going to clear in, the caller at 2456, did you have a question or comment that you wanted to get in?
Hi, I sure did. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, ma'am.
All right. Caller from 712 here. I just wanted to ask, did we ever do a book study club of the ISIS papers, or did you ever do one maybe when I wasn't listening years ago?
We did not, simply because I tried to pick books where The author hasn't been here, so we're covering new material, and Dr. Wells, and she certainly spent so much time on the program that I felt like, man, we talked to her directly over and over and over again, so people should be able to ask their questions and what have you. But in light of her transition and the number of people who, you know, have said that they haven't read the book yet, that might be something to go ahead and do just to get that in so that we can say we covered it cover to cover and went through with questions and what have you to really make sure folks have a clear understanding of what she wrote and the, like I said, immense material that she left behind.
Yeah, yep. And speaking on the book, I mean, I heard you earlier, you all discussing the prices, and that's really just, I've been seeing it too a lot. Was it ever a hardcover of the ISIS papers, though? I didn't even think it was, but maybe it was.
I think Mary, I might be confused, but I thought Mary had said she had seen a listing for the hardcover at like $900 or something. I'm not myself sure that I take that.
It, no, I never said that. No.
Oh, okay. Sorry. But one of our other callers, I think, had said that they saw a listing for a hard copy. I was going to say that I had not seen a hard copy, but I think I have seen in a library. I think I have seen a hard copy of the ISIS papers. But the copy that I have is paperback. But I do think there is, or at least should be, a few hard copies in circulation.
Oh, that was me.
There we go. Got it.
That was me. Yeah, almost $1,000. $999.10.
Okay.
Okay. All right. That was all the questions I had. Thank you so much, Cal and Gus.
Oh, for sure. Good hearing from you. Good hearing from you. I believe Andrew is on the line with us as well. Now we have three in the UK. Good to hear from you, Andrew.
Hi, Gus. Great to be here again. Hi, everybody. Hope everybody's been well.
Oh, good to hear from you as well, sir. Everyone kind of at the beginning, our folks that are outside the States, giving everybody time, anything that they wanted to say about Dr. Frances Cress Welsing with her transition, anything that you wanted to say on that subject?
Yeah, boy. God, where do I start? I bought the ISIS papers when I was 25, so 20 odd years ago now. And yeah, I've just got to say that I learned a lot from that book. Learned a lot from watching her on YouTube over the years. I think she came over a few years ago, but I missed that. And you know that's why you just have to catch people when you're able to, because people are not here forever. But more than anything, I mean, obviously, because I learned about her death from from your show, but also then it went round here as on social media. But just to say that she was inspiration. A teacher. It's hard to know. It's hard to put into words, really, to be honest. It's just hard to put it into words, really. I mean, she was an inspiration. I mean, I've got a few inspirations. Muhammad Ali is one. Cress Welsing is another one. And Neelie Fuller is another one. It's just hard to put into words. What she's meant to me personally and a lot of other people. So, yeah.
Outstanding. Yeah, and I definitely second that. Everyone should make an opportunity anytime that you can see any of these folks, non-white people, I'm talking about black people that are out doing constructive work against racism, white supremacy, to support them while they are here. Do so. Within the last 2 weeks, I've been reminded of George Jackson, who's a member of the Black Panther Party for Self-Defense, in his book Soledad Brother. He's talking about the passing of Dr. King and Malcolm X. And he's talking about people that, have all these laudatory things to say and oh, this person was grand and they were wonderful and they meant so much to me and all this and the flowers and everything. And he said, man, you should do all that while the person is here. Like, if you, you know, are going to, now it's time to cook a casserole and all that stuff, you know, make sure that the person gets the casserole while they are still here and can eat it. And I would definitely say that for any non-white people, particularly black people, if they're doing work against racism, white supremacy, and it's helped you get some clarity about what racism is, how it works, you should support the person. Any cool thoughts that you want to make sure that you say about their work or what have you, get it while they're still here and can appreciate what is being said and what you, any constructive comments that you have about their work and what they've done. With that, let me see. I'm trying to make sure I did not forget any of the folks who wanted to participate. I know I have one other person, I think, to dial in. And our caller in Norway, he is listening in. He just said that he's in kind of a noisy spot where it'd be a little bit difficult for him to participate. Again, remind our listening audience, if you have a question or if you have something that you want to make sure that gets brought up, or you want to take advantage of having so many different non-white people in different parts of the world on the line, if you have a question for them, you should dial in. This is not our normal three-hour program. We're just doing max 90 minutes. Could just be an hour, so you should dial in. Get your hand up if you have a question or something that you want to toss out to the listening audience. As I said, I definitely wanted to address the attacks in Germany, so I'll make sure that we do that. Is there anything, any of our listeners, anything important, any observations, anything that you definitely wanted to make sure that we covered during the program?
Yeah, I could give a tiny update as to where, if that's fine, as to where the that work-based racism thing is that we're dealing with. I could give a tiny update. There's not a lot to tell, to be honest, because it's a slow process. So,
oh, okay. For folks who listened last time, we did our December Global Sunday talk on racism. Andrew gave us an update, kind of a workplace racism. Well, not kind of, this ugly workplace racism situation, white people doing their normal terroristic behavior and making accusations and what have you, working together to subvert non-white people in his workplace. You can go back and get the full story if you go back and listen in the archives. But yeah, if you want to give us an update on where that is at this point, that would be great.
Yeah, sure. No problem. We'll do.
Do you want to do that now?
Oh, yeah. Oh, sorry. Yes. Yeah, I mean, it's not a lot to tell at the moment. I mean, we the two guys that are still working at that school, they're going through more just assorted nonsense and sorry behavior directed at them by the now the executive head teacher has joined in fully on the side of her white racist male friend, the so-called acting principal, and another head of faculty, and they're they're pushing their sorry behavior towards the two black members of staff that are still there. So just to say that we met at the beginning of last week just to plan a course of action, and involved in that is going to be media. There's going to be one or two people that are, that are fairly well known in this country. And it's just the whole thing about taking it as far as it can go. And that's what we've all agreed, that we're going to take it as far as it can go. I met with an apparent independent representative from an investigation firm, an employment investigation firm, employed by the school governors. So apparently there, and what this chap said is that he's independent. He's simply been paid to do a report that he's going to give the governors, and as to what the governors want to do about it is going to be up to them. So I met with him I don't know, in a way, I don't know why he had to meet with me, because my exit report, I already done wrote it and gave it to the governors. So he had highlighted elements out of it and wanted to talk to me about elements that I'd already highlighted. So I don't really see the point of that, because he's already got it anyway, right? But anyhow, so we met and I elucidated a little bit on what I had wrote. Literally, I've got his final write-up of my interview in front of me. I'm not ready yet. My job is to read it and make comments on his on what he's written. Then I've got to email him back this and my amendments tomorrow. And it's up to him what he wants to put in the report to send on to the governors. I mean, either way, if we do, the bottom line is it's going to go, as I said, to tribunal, and we're going to push it in the media and as far as it will go. So, and I recommend that anybody that has any issues at work, don't be afraid, because you only live once, so it doesn't matter. Just take it as far as it will go, regardless, and just watch what happens. Treat it as an experiment and watch what happens. You know, so that's my encouragement to anybody who has any issues at work. I mean, it doesn't do to just keep your head down and try and go, try and go forward and not getting, not rock the boat and all this sort of stuff. That never works, because all they do is pile more work on you. So as has been the case with me in the past, as has been the case at this workplace with one black male member of staff. So it's really just about making racists fully understand that you are not going to turn away from taking something as far as it will go. And then it's up to them what course of action they want to take. If you know, they could call you bluff, or they can say, you know what, this guy's, you know, this lady's serious, you know, let's avoid her. And even hopefully they won't avoid you. Hopefully they'll go for it, so you can clean them out of the workplace for the next set of African people, black people, non-white people that are coming along. And that's really the stance that all of us are taking. So the update is that I've got to really answer this chap's what he's written. That will go back to them, but the bottom line is we're going to take it to tribunal. But the whole process really is really not a quick one. So that's really where we're at this moment in time.
Wow, will be interesting if you're able to join with us next month to kind of see where things have progressed once you have this meeting and they kind of go over your exit report and what have you. Particularly if there's going to be any press attention at all, where they're talking about this or writing this up or what have you, that will definitely be something to see how all that evolves. I guess my quick comment would be, I suspect this might be the type of meeting exchange where white people have gotten together, they went over their story, and they're going to try and poke some holes and accuse you of making up something or being inaccurate about something in some of the statements that you might have written in your exit statement. That might be some of what their strategy is for what they're going to be doing with this meeting to invalidate any claims that you might have made about wrongdoing or racism being practiced on their part. But we will see how that goes if you're able to to update us next month. And definitely encourage, as you said, you know, hey, if it happens, this is workplace racism. It's not the sort of thing that you just want to continue to take and try to just say, I'll get through it as best I can. You really should try to oppose this, because they're just going to continue to pile on, exactly as you said. They're just going to keep doing it and probably doing more of it if you don't stand up and try your best to stop that behavior and challenge what they're doing.
Yeah, you know what? They're never ever going to stop. I don't expect them to stop. It's for me, it's just about letting them know that they just how can I put it? That, as you put it last time we spoke, the cost of doing that kind of business is going up. So for me, that's I'm not going to say that's the fun of it, but nonetheless. I must admit, I do like watching a racist squirm, even just a little bit, even just a little bit, you know, so.
Absolutely. And that, I think a lot of people, you will observe that once you start to redirect, have some black self-respect, as Dr. Welsing said all the time, and just are functioning correctly in response to racism and not just taking all the abuse, but really figuring out some logical ways to respond, you will see where white people get a little nervous and they have to go back and regroup. Definitely expect that as well. They will regroup and they will attack again, but just to see them have to get their words together, get their act together to deal with you a little bit more cautiously. Great to observe.
Yeah.
Let's see if folks have anything else. I definitely, as I said, I wanted to make sure that I asked about the rape attack in Germany. And if folks are listening in, you can get a hand up. But folks didn't pay attention. This has kind of been a big thing that's been reported here in the States and around the world. In Cologne, Germany, for the quote-unquote New Year, where they had these allegations that all these German women were being assaulted by these migrants, implied non-white people, during the New Year celebration. The New York Times, they had a big write-up just this week. It's titled, "As Germany Welcomes Migrants, Sexual Attacks in Cologne Point to a New Reality." And if you squint, if you look at the article, it's got a big picture of all these white women with their signs up, and they're mad and talking about all this violence against German women. Is this the price that we're going to have to pay for working it, for welcoming in all of these migrants? I'm not going to read the whole article, but just to give you kind of a flavor of what it says, it's as 2016 neared on December 31st, however, some 1,500 men, including some newly arrived asylum seekers and many other immigrants, had instead assembled around Cologne's train station. Drunk and dismissive of the police, they took advantage of an overwhelmed force to sexually assault and rob hundreds of people, according to police reports, shocking Germany and stoking anxieties over absorbing refugees across Europe. "We were just pressed on all sides by people," recalled one victim, Johanna, 18, who agreed to speak by telephone from Lake Constance, Germany, where she lives, only if her last name was not used, fearing hostility, particularly over social media. "I was grabbed continually. I have never experienced such a thing in any German city." Much is still hazy about that night, but the police reports and the testimony of officials and victims suggest that the officers failed to anticipate the new realities of a Germany that is now host to up to a million asylum seekers, most from war-torn Muslim countries unfamiliar with its culture. I will stop there. As I said, this is a pretty lengthy report with maps and images, and the whole nine goes on for detail. And this just came out a couple days ago in the New York Times. The reason I think this is hugely important, this ties right in. There was a big report about a alleged gang rape in Brooklyn, New York, that took place just within the last 10 days. Dylan Storm Roof, the terrorist attack in Charleston, South Carolina, he is reported to have said, "You all talking about black males, you keep raping our women." Donald Trump's comments about all these raping, quote unquote, Latinos coming into the country that he said just a few months ago. There's so much of this. I would even add the Bill Cosby charges of sexual assault that keep running in the news, that it just, to me, seems like a growing torrent of white women are being attacked worldwide by all these dark people. We've got to do something. For our international folks that are on the line, have you been paying attention to this attack, and how has this reverberated? I think the image that I have that's on Facebook for this episode, even in Finland, they have a sign just to dramatize what I'm saying, and it shows a white woman. Her clothes have been pulled off, and there are about three or four dark males who are in the process of getting undressed and going about raping her. And this is a big, huge billboard that they have in Finland. And it says, "Rape is okay here. Come here, rape a white woman and nobody cares." This is the billboard that they've got up within the last few weeks or so in Finland. What have you all heard about the attacks in Germany? What have you been hearing in your respective areas, if at all? And how do you think this is going to play out with regards to white supremacy? Any of the international folks that are on the line with us?
I'll be brief.
I guess we'll go with Mary first, and then we'll nab everybody else.
Okay, I'll be brief. We heard about it basically New Year's Day. The BBC were covering it. And one of the things that came out from the initial news footage that they did is that they had other witnesses who were saying that they didn't see any so-called immigrants committing any acts. It was just regular German men who were doing it. But over the progress of this whole story developing, that the narrative has changed to it's solidly North African men and Arab looking men, that type of thing. But initially the other witnesses that they spoke to were saying it was regular Germans that were doing it. But I think it's, and as well as the case that you talked about with the five youths in Brooklyn, we're going right back to the times where, you know, Birth of a Nation, the black boogeyman is going to rape all of the women. We're going right back to that. This is the new black codes, you know, so it's going to justify, it's going to be used, as far as I'm concerned, to justify any harm to non-whites. It's going to be used to justify that, to say, look, they come and they rape and they do all of these things. And I think that that's the narrative that's being rolled out.
I'm not sure. Yes, sir, go ahead.
No, I was just, also to be brief, I was just saying that it's true what Mary has just said, that we're going back to the old, he's rating me, or he looks like he's going to rate me, or he looks like he's thinking about rating me. You know, the old Emmett Till technique, if I can call it that. I've been watchful as I can be. I've been trying to see this unfoldment of this in Germany. And what I've noticed is that in general in Europe right now, there's a general reawakening or re-coming out of the rightist movement, the far-right movement, what they call the orange movement. I've been noticing it in Germany, in France, in Ukraine, in Holland, in Greece, in a couple of places in Europe. So, yes, just to back Mary up a little, we are going back definitely right there. And beyond that, to tie Dr. Worthing in again, it speaks to me of the fear of genetic annihilation. It seems to me when I read this whole situation that there's this fear of, this constant white fear of genetic annihilation. It seems to me as if Germans and Europeans in general are expressing a fear of their being annihilated, because what will happen when so-called people of color or so-called foreign migrants start moving into Germany and into Europe? They obviously will see it as a dilution of their pure Aryan German or European culture in general. So it seems to me as if it's definitely also about fear of genetic annihilation. It proves the work of Dr. Welsing. It proves, I mean, it proves so clearly what she's been saying. You only have to look. You don't even have to have read her book. You just have to have listened to her and look what's going on in the world. Then you will see that it's really playing out as she said it is.
Are you seeing any of these same allegations or reports of sexual misconduct from Kaffirs in South Africa? Are you seeing any of that on the continent as well?
Yeah, oh yes, there's a lot of that, and you know, I don't know what more to say other than it's the old Emmett Till technique, and you know, which a lot of and also beyond that, beyond just the black male looks as if he's about to rape me technique, there's also that whole every black female is a slut thing going on, especially with concern to how white males have been treating black females right here in South Africa. You know, there's a lot of that Jezebel, you know, they Jezebelize them, so to speak, you know, as if every black woman was on promiscuous. I'm reminded of Dr. Joy DeGru in one of her lectures that I saw online speaking to this point also, that, you know, it was as if to these white men all the way from your so-called founding fathers in America, you know, to raping slave children and having children by them. It all speaks of genetic annihilation and the fact that they want to cast the black woman as, you know, a whore who's basically available for the taking to any white male.
Wow. Daniel Holtzclaw's sentencing is coming up this Thursday. The convicted sexual terrorist in Oklahoma who was targeting exclusively black females. His sentencing will be coming up on Thursday. Folks should definitely be paying attention to that as well. Any of our other callers, Mr. Fox, Andrew, caller in Canada, anyone else have comments on the situation, these alleged rapes in Germany and how that's been playing out?
Yeah. Just to say that, I saw this reported on the news that apparently these Syrians, Syrian men, are gone, you know, going around raping German women. A few things really that I can see. One is that the German Prime Minister, or whatever she is, Chancellor, whatever you want to call her, Merkel, and a lot of German people have gone to great pains for the last few years to project Germany as no longer being a racist country, you know, for obvious reasons, right? But really, everybody knows that's not true. Germany is a seedbed of racism. It's the truth, right? Germany is a seedbed of racism. And all this really does is just prove it. It's just propaganda, just to say, you know, these foreigners have come over here, you know, they're raping our women, they're doing this, that, and the other. It's just all the same normal sort of banal rubbish that that racists put out, you know, whenever non-white people, and to be honest, I don't, you know, when it comes to Syrians, I'm going to make an assumption that some of them are non-white, some of them are white. You know, Syria is full of different people, right? Really, so that's that. But I mean, it doesn't surprise me that that a country like Germany will put out this propaganda. You know, whether it's happened or not. You know, when you look at Germans, right, and their sexual practices, they leave a lot to be desired. You know, so when it comes to German men, right, are we trying to say that they don't rape German women? What's that all about? You know, so really what's going on there is to one, try and stop immigration, and the way you do it, or the way particular white people are choosing to do it, is to say, you know, these marauding hordes are coming in and they're destroying our culture, our way of life, you know, raping our women. Next, they're going to start on the children, basically. You know, that's what it's all about. And it's just same game. It's just the same stuff. You know, so there you go. Yeah.
Sounds like Nazi Germany all over again.
pretty much.
They, in that news report from the New York Times that came out this week, if you continue reading it, way down at the bottom, it says that apparently some of the people that were doing this raping were not actually immigrants. They were just regular old white German men who were participating in some of this. And they also include in the same report that some of the details about these alleged rapes or sexual abuse, that the details were still kind of hazy. We're not quite sure what all unfolded during the New Year's celebration, which to me is highly suspicious that some of this could just be fabrication, racist propaganda that we want to just promote our atmosphere so that we can justify any sort of racist conduct that unfolds from this event. But yeah, let's, Mr. Fox, did you have any commentary you wanted to add, sir?
Can you hear me okay? Because my computer's decided to turn on its fan because I'm actually uploading a video to YouTube, a Cows broadcast. I've been in the process of doing it for the past 2 hours, but the fan's starting to act up a bit now. Can you hear me okay?
I can hear the fan mildly, but I can hear you okay.
Okay. Regarding the rape rampage in Germany, when I first heard it, I just thought it was a standard procedure, to be honest with you. I didn't believe it. I didn't believe a word of it, but I've not really looked into it. But from what I'm hearing now and propaganda, what you actually do hear from the white supremacists, I just feel like it's an excuse just to try and get the people just to encourage them to put more pressure on the government just to close the doors.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think we had talked about before, Prime Chancellor Angela Merkel, white woman, that she was voted Times Person of the Year for. And a lot of that was about her stance and saying that they were going to welcome in these immigrants and we're tolerant and this is not Hitler's Germany anymore. And it talked about how her polls have taken a huge hit over the past 2 months or so, particularly with this incident, but huge hit, and folks are really upset with her. Dr. Welsing talked about that as well, because she had made the comment last year saying that this is no longer going to be, Germany is no longer going to be this predominantly white nation, that we've got to welcome in these non-white people. Dr. Welsing had talked about that and how unpopular that stance had been. I think this, just everything about this makes it much more difficult to take that sort of stance, that we are not going to be welcoming these raping darkies in, and totally fear of white genetic annihilation, that we are justified in any sort of racist acts that we want to carry out in dealing with these non-white people. And all this should not be lost either. They just reauthorized production of Mein Kampf in Germany. I think it had not been in publication there for a long while, and they just republished, and I think they had this huge spike in orders, where they had more orders than actual books that they were going to republish. Not that the book was totally unavailable, but they just weren't printing any new copies, and they just started that as well within the last days, I think, of 2016, that they just did this as well. I think that is also hugely important, hugely significant as well. Do we miss anybody? Anybody else have comments on the rape situation? You got everybody. Reminded me of Ben Tillman. I think Emmett Till was mentioned. Totally reminded me of Ben Tillman down in South Carolina. That long running and extremely successful clarion call to white violence. The accusation, the lie that the white woman has been touched, and we need to protect and preserve the sanctity of the white woman. So if we have to go out and kill one or 1,000 or 10,000 Negroes, so be it. Long-running, successful campaigns of that in the history of white supremacy and worldwide. We talked about that in Germany before on the program. Other topics folks wanted to make sure they bring up, and again, for our listeners, this is not our usual program. We hang out for several hours. This is just 90 minutes, so we have less than 30 minutes left in the broadcast. If you have a question you want to ask any of our international listeners, folks from all over the world with us, if you have a question you want to ask or subject matter that you want to hear any thoughts on, feel free. The number again, 641-715-3640, and the code is 564-943-pound. Folks have other topics they want to bring up?
If I may jump in just a little.
Absolutely.
I don't know if, and by the way, greeting to everyone, I never greeted, that was rude of me. I don't know if you heard about, in the past few weeks, there's a white woman here in South Africa, her name is Penny Sparrow, who works for what do you call it? Those companies that sell property, real estate company. She went out on Twitter and publicly called all black people in South Africa monkeys, apparently because she had witnessed some littering at the beach, and she just publicly came out and just said, you see, we've been telling you these blacks cannot, in essence, I'm not quoting her verbatim, but in essence, her whole line was, you see, we've been telling you about these blacks. They cannot rule themselves. They cannot be left alone to themselves. They're destroying everything. Essentially, we need to re-civilize them, almost, you know. And she just came out and called us monkeys. It goes back again to that whole, you know, black people are monkeys, black people are apes, black people are less than human, and therefore, if they're less than human, they deserve, you know, less than human treatment, essentially. And then there was another one of a white male, I forget his name, if I can remember his surname, but his first name is Chris. He works for Standard Bank, and his whole thing was that blacks in South Africa take too much time complaining about past apartheid or colonialism, you know, past wrongs, past white supremacist wrongs. You know, basically his whole thing is that we play the race card too much. It's about everything is done. The playing field is level now. You know, blacks and whites are equal, not only in South Africa, in the whole world. So it's about time that blacks shut up and basically, you know, get on with business. And that's just what's happening here down south.
Someone, I think, had posted that the news report about this race soldier, Penny Sparrow, who made these comments calling black people in South Africa, calling them monkeys. And I guess she was very detailed about her whole commentary. The post that I'm reading, it says, "I'm sorry to say that I was amongst the revelers and all I saw were black on black skins. What a shame. I do know some wonderful, thoughtful black people. This lot of monkeys just don't want to even try, but they can voice opinions about a statue and get their way." The commentary that it's about Rhodes Must Fall, the getting rid of the statues of Cecil Rhodes in South Africa. She goes on to say, "From now, I shall address the blacks of South Africa as monkeys, as I see the cute little wild monkeys do the same pick and drop litter." Long running.
Can I say something?
Yes, sir.
What white people historically have done, are doing now, and will always do, is reduce non-white people to the level of animals, right? And that will always come before some physical violence, right? I mean, in fact, there was a program on TV in England a few years ago whereby when the Nazis did that to the so-called Jewish people, you know, where they basically begun to refer to them as vermin, as animals, literally, before the Second European War, what white people called the Second World War. And in England, prior to the last uprising, right, whereby when loads of young people, black and white, by the way, when they went outside and tore this country up, right, just afterwards or during it, you had some white woman on TV referring to young black people as, was it, feral rats, right? And so that word feral went all around the world. And fast forward a few years, everybody's using the word feral, right? But the point is that it's the whole thing about reducing non-white people to be nothing more than animals, nothing more than vermin. And, you know, there's only one course of action with vermin, and that's to get them exterminated. You must exterminate them, right? And so so that's what this is all about. You say that, you know, these marauding hordes of animals or whatever you want to call them are doing this to us, and, you know, they have to be stopped. And this is the kind of language that all racists everywhere always use. You know, so whenever you hear white people referring to non-white people as using particular terminology like hordes, animals, this, that, and the other, you know they're getting ready to do some violence. But, you know, if we know this, then, you know, the next thing is, I suppose the problem is not enough of us actually know that. So that's the problem, really, isn't it?
I would agree. I would agree. We do not have accurate understanding of that. I remember that vividly from the 2011, what they call London riots. The BBC played that clip over and over again. Feral rats, and condemning black people for the hooliganism that was going on in 2011 after the shooting death of Mark Duggan, non-white male. But standard operating procedure with regards to that sort of labeling of black people. Even a lot of that went on the Central Park case where they said it was wilding, the same type of language for these innocent non-white males, black males, and some of them were non-white, non-black. But these five males that were wrongly convicted, not just accused, convicted of this rape that they did not do. It was the same type of language was employed. And I think that's just being resurrected. They're just doing a lot of the same things over and over again. Other folks have comments they wanted to make sure they got in?
Of course.
Yes, sir.
The question you asked Dr. Welding probably about three shows ago, when you asked, I think it might have been three shows ago, it was regarding the Rachel Dozo situation, but she never answered it in that actual episode. Did she actually give you an answer to that question you asked her?
I believe, if my timing is accurate, that the Rachel Dolezal situation, it was kind of in the summer. I think it was right before the Charleston shooting. I think that was the first time that I asked her about it. It was just, I'm saying unfortunately, because the gravity of the Charleston terrorist attack certainly overshadowed any concerns about Rachel Dolezal. So she didn't really spend a lot of time addressing it there. I think that that might have popped back up because I think you wanted me to ask her about the Rachel Dolezal situation. I think I was able to ask her again when she came back on the program after that initial visit that she had the day after the Charleston terrorist attack, but I don't recall everything that she said about the Dolezal situation the second time that I asked her about it.
Okay, so she did answer the question, so it was on one of the broadcasts.
One of the later, after that, like that.
Yeah.
The first time. Right. I think it might have even been the last time that she was on. That was November of 2015 that I asked her again about it. And I think she did give a little bit more of a response.
Okay.
And just an FYI, I was looking. There is no coincidence. There's a new installment of Planet of the Apes that's supposed to be out later this summer. War for the Planet of the Apes. No coincidence at all. And this also in the last year of the Obama presidency. I think that is significant as well.
So we've had what, Creed and Planet of Apes going to come. So was Creed 2015 or 2016?
2015.
2015, okay. Never stop.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Can we add Star Wars into that as well?
Oh, absolutely. How could we not? How could we not? One of our listeners. I'm sorry?
I said most definitely Star Wars as well.
Mm-hmm. One of our listeners wrote a great counter-racist review of that. I'm going to post it on my blog, just pointing out some of the same power dynamics, how the black person is just running, and some of the really racist interactions that he has with some of the other white characters, where they make it very plain the role that he's supposed to have as a black person. He is not Luke Skywalker. This is not our savior, that this is just a nigger, even in Star Wars, even on another planet, and, you know, whatever time period we happen to be in, it is still the system of white supremacy. This is still a nigger, lightsaber or no.
Can I be heard?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I think what's interesting about that is he doesn't know how to use a lightsaber. So if a lightsaber is meant to be the object of power, he doesn't know how to use it. And that's what struck me when I watched that film. You know, if he knew how to use it and he was swinging it around and killing some white people, that'd be interesting. But, you know, in the film, he doesn't know how to use it. So that's what struck me.
I saw that on the actual trailers when everyone was, when all the white supremacists were up in arms. I kept on hearing people saying how they were just very disappointed in there actually being a black person in the Star Wars. But when I actually saw the trailers, more trailers were starting to come out. When you saw it with the lightsaber, it looked to me like obviously this person's never handled a lightsaber before. So now this film's come out and everyone's seen it. It's like all the white supremacists are just happy with this person's character, but it was no threat whatsoever. I've not seen the film yet. I don't go and see films at the cinema. I'll just download it, but I will see it in the future. But I was not surprised in the character he played, basically. There's no surprise there. The standard procedure.
Yep.
Even in Captain, the last installment of Captain America, Winter Soldier, I forget that African American actor, but even the role that he's given there, you know, is basically some kind of understudy or some kind of nigger understudy to Captain America, if you watch carefully.
That might even be a Welsing moment, the lightsaber as a phallic symbol. I think Dr. Welsing would probably say something about that, particularly a black male not knowing how to properly handle the lightsaber. Definitely a Welsing moment. I could see how that would appease whites.
I think so. And I think also, going back a couple of films ago with Samuel L. Jackson's character, the fact that he has his hands cut off as well. You know, because he's just about to kill the ultimate racist white supremacist, and then he has his hands cut off by Anakin Skywalker. So, you know, and then he gets killed. You know, so
executed outside of a window as well.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Any thoughts? I know Dr. Welsing talked about this in her last Welsing Institute lecture. And just from what I've been paying attention in the news, it's seeming like more mainstream outlets are talking seriously. You know, Donald Trump could be next president. Any thoughts from folks in other parts of the world around Donald Trump and taking seriously him following up President Obama in the White House?
It seems to me that I don't think necessarily that Barack Obama has been, from where I'm standing anyway, I mean, obviously it'd be great to get your opinion, Gus, but from where I'm standing, I don't necessarily think he's been absolutely excellent for African people in America or anywhere else, really. I do understand the whole thing about role modeling. As I've heard, you know, a lot of people think he's been good for young people, that they can reach for the stars and this sort of thing and all the rest of it. To a degree, I understand the point. I have issues with that, but I'll come to those probably later on. But you know, I can understand why white people would want to wash their mouths out from having a black taste. and what you do then, you get someone like Donald Trump who basically, you know, because I suppose he's like spearmint, you know he's a good mouthwash possibly for a lot of white racists. You know, you swish him around in your mouth for a little bit and then all the taste of all that blackness is totally disappeared, you know. So I get that. If I was white, if I was a racist, I can understand that. So I get the logic of it. I wonder what black African Americans think about him.
Ask Diamond and Silk, they seem to love him.
Diamond and Silk, who is that?
Basically, they are these two overweight African American females who do the whole bucking of the eyes. They go to his rally. They deliberately speak in Ebonics about him building the wall, tall and strong to keep the immigrants out. If you put in Diamond and Silk at a Trump rally, you'll see exactly what I'm talking about. Just the stereotype that white people have of black females in America. And he just wheels them out and he says, oh, come on, show the audience, do your bit. So they are just basically like the entertainment for people who go to his rallies. And they're just his supporters. I mean, I suspect that they are paid by him to do this, but it's an incredibly shameful display. It's really cringeworthy. It's very embarrassing. And to me, Donald Trump is exactly what white Americans want. He is exactly what they want. No matter how wrong he is, they understand that he will keep their agenda strong and he will ruin that country even more than it's ruined. But he is exactly what they want. He speaks to their heart. And it's unfortunate.
I just saw the video of this duo, and I completely concur with that assessment that these are probably some victims that have been compensated to come and do this routine where they endorse him and talk about how great he's going to make the country and all of that. In fact, just them being allowed to be there where they are not being harassed and called whores and niggers and everything else, because there's video footage and pictures and many reports of black people and non-white people who have attended Trump rallies and have just been accosted and beaten and attacked by white people. So the fact that they can even be present at these rallies and not endure all of that is suspicious in and of itself. But yeah. Any other comments folks want to make sure they got in?
Yeah, I was listening to a UK-based African radio show here during the daytime, and they were comparing Donald Trump's comments about Islam, about Muslims, and the fact that he's not been banned to come to the UK, and comparing that with Minister Farrakhan's comments, apparent comments, because I've not heard them, a few years ago, as to apparently what he said about Jewish people, and the fact that he's been banned from coming here, coming to this country. So on the one hand, you've got a white racist, an obvious white supremacist, right, making some really idiotic comments about non-white people, about Muslims, right? And then you've got Minister Farrakhan, who apparently made some comments about Jewish people. He's been banned from coming here to this day, right? So I think that talks about the hypocrisy that white people have, you know, straight and plain, you know. I don't know, Gus, if you knew that that Minister Farrakhan was banned from coming here.
I remember that being discussed before, like some years ago. This is not a recent thing. This is something that's been in effect for a while. Isn't that the case?
That's correct. Yeah, it's not been lifted. I mean, you know, I mean, obviously, if people want to hear Minister Farrakhan, then you've got things like Skype now, and you could rig things up, and there's no real borders anymore. But nonetheless, the physical ban is in place. But yet, this white man can run around the world, you know, talking all these racist, vile nonsense, and white people love it. Basically, you know, they utterly love it, you know. So if they don't verbally say that they love it, the truth is they love it.
Absolutely. Wow. Last 5 minutes, folks have comments that they want to make sure that they get in. Listeners, if you have a quick question you want to ask any of our folks who are participating around the globe, caller in Canada, Mary, Andrew, Mr. Fox, caller in South Africa, if folks have anything else they want to make sure they get in, last few minutes, do so now.
Sorry, Gus, quick question.
Yes, sir.
The Tim Rice episode, when you said Dr. Welzing's theory is pseudo-scientific bullshit, was that the first time he was on the show or the second time?
I think that was being, I guess, totally accurate about it. That would have been I think that would have been the third time he was on the program, January of 2010. And then we discussed it in further detail, I think, on his fifth visit to the program. But the first time it was brought up was the third visit, January of 2010, January 2010.
Thank you very much.
Mm-hmm. I think this is Tapello. Did you have a question you wanted to get in?
Greetings, everyone.
Greetings.
Greetings.
I'm having debates with people of indigenous backgrounds, dark-skinned people. And for some reason, they think that nationality makes the difference in how people are treated. Now, all I want is some evidence of this, more evidence, should I say, from anybody who's outside of the United States and may have nationality if they're on the line, have from some other country. Can you, from any perspective, say that nationality will give you some justice compared to just being classified as a black person.
When you say nationality, does that mean in terms of where you were born? I just want to be clear what you mean when you say nationality, meaning if you were born in this particular place, that you can maybe avoid being mistreated under the system of racism, white supremacy. Is that what you mean, or do you mean something else?
No, that's exactly what I mean. Exactly. Like, you born in Ghana, you have a country named after you, whatever, and that somehow is going to give you some protection. And what I'm just trying to do is just show that no matter that race trumps nationality.
Okay.
And I'm trying to convince these brothers that, hey, look, I know you want to push the nationality. I know it's important to you, but to white people, it's not important. And that's all I'm trying to do. So if anybody can prove to me that the logic is that we have on here is false or is somehow misunderstood, I just want them to show some proof.
Got it.
And I'm asking the brother that's in England. Hey, brother, you in England? You talk to a lot of these brothers that may think that, I'm sure. Can they provide you with some proof so you can come on here and let us know if they got something they can go with? Because if we can find some kind of alleviation, let me know.
Then
I'll mute myself.
Right on. Did folks have any response on that?
I do.
Okay.
That's, I think, when Rochelle was on the show talking about Canada. I think that's a big problem black people here have, is that we think very much in an ethnic sense, where, you know, Jamaicans think for Jamaica and white people, and then you have the same thing with people from the African continent, but do not like to think in a race-first approach. They think much more in terms of assimilating, or I'm part of Canada, they're more likely to want to identify with Canada than identify with anything African. This is a very big problem among black Caribbean people, and I believe I've heard it's likewise with African Americans, but I definitely agree with him. I think black people here, especially in Canada, need to learn to think black, not think multicultural. I hate the idea of multiculturalism, and that's my only comment.
Right on. Our caller in Canada, any of the other folks that are with us have a comment you want to get in on that?
Only just to say that, you know, I suppose I'd reverse the question around, really. You know, show me any evidence to say that, to say that nationality makes a blind bit of difference. You know, I mean, that's what I would say. Because obviously a racist sees colour first, right? You know, and that's it. If I was walking down the road and you had a racist policeman coming up in America, coming up towards me, I'm going to make an assumption. He's not going to stop and ask me, you know, what country I come from. He doesn't care. But, you know, they just don't care. That is not relevant. So I would want the evidence to say that nationality somehow plays any difference or plays differently in a situation more so than colour. So that's my answer.
Do you think it helps you in a court of law?
I'd like to see any evidence that it does. For somebody to make that statement that nationality makes a difference, I'm going to make an assumption that they've got some evidence. So failing the fact that they've got any evidence to point to say that, oh, if you're black British, whatever that means, if you're black British, that somehow, there is the evidence over there. I can point to the evidence sitting on that shelf that whereby black British people get treated better than African Americans, right? Or more so than Jamaicans, or more so than Bajans, or more so than people from Haiti. I would like to see the evidence. So, you know, in this country, I cannot see any evidence that says that my brothers and sisters from Sierra Leone or Nigeria or Ghana get treated better than people from Jamaica or black British people. I don't know what the evidence is in England for that. I'm going to make an assumption no evidence exists in North America either. So that's my answer. In fact, to be honest, if people make them kind of comments, right, I don't even know if I'd waste my time replying to them.
Topelo, if you're kind of thinking along the lines of, can you go into a court of law and state that your nationality gives you sovereignty, we all know that that doesn't work anywhere in this world. It's just, you're a black person in court, subject to the laws of the land, and that's just it, really. I hope that helps.
Right on. We will bring that one up again, as again, we should have folks on from different parts of the world continuing, so we can ask other folks for their view if they have any evidence. Either way, they can share on the broadcast. We did our 90. Again, this is not the normal broadcast, so we spend a whole lot of time, but just definitely committed to making that opportunity to get folks from different parts of the world who can come in, share their views on racism, white supremacy, particularly today, to get folks in different parts of the world to share their thoughts on the passing of Dr. Frances Cress Welsing and the appreciation for her work, time and energy devoted to trying to help us solve this problem, get a better understanding on white supremacy, racism. We should be here tomorrow. White Woman on the program, normal broadcast time, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific. Folks can tune in, get ready to ask good questions of a suspected racist. Thoroughly appreciated everyone being able to join in and comment different parts of the world. Hope it was a constructive investment of your, I guess for you all, Sunday evening now, Sunday evening, Sunday afternoon. Great hearing from folks all over, and we will look forward to doing so again next month. Next month, this program would actually fall on our 7-year anniversary, so that will be cool to be able to hear folks on the 21st February if we're still rolling at that time. Thanks to everyone for tuning in. Hope you got some good information that you can use. If you have any questions, problems, things came up on the program that you would like further clarification, just drop an email, untiljustice@gmail.com. untiljustice@gmail.com. Good to hear from all of our folks, South Africa, UK, Canada, and as I said, our caller in Norway, he was listening in, just said he was in a noisy environment and wasn't able to comment, but big thanks to everyone. Thanks so much for sharing your views and time and energy with us this Sunday. Again, feel free to drop an email if you can't find something in the archives, the Tim Wise program, or something with Dr. Welsing, another guest that you're looking for. If you can't find it, having difficulties, just drop an email, untiljustice@gmail.com, and we will try to help you locate the material. That said, same thing I say at the end of every program, sobriety would be best under conditions of white terrorism. You want to be lucid, clear thinking when you're out and about. You never know when you could bump into Daniel Holtzclaw, Darren Wilson. You want to be able to make the best possible decisions to keep yourself safe, other folks that you might be responsible for. Try to avoid contact with whites who are under the influence. Even I would minimize conflict contact with non-whites who are under the influence. We already have too many problems. We don't want to add any unnecessary strife that we have to deal with under these conditions. That being said, thanks again for everyone for tuning in. Creator, we ask that you help us remain patient with other black people, victims of white supremacy. We ask that you help us remain patient with ourselves. Remind us to demonstrate the highest levels of black self-respect at all times, in all places, each and every time we are in contact with another black person. It has been time. Replace white supremacy with justice immediately. Cal signing out. Thanks all for tuning in.
Nigga, you so brainwashed.
I'm a victim, your brother.
Problem. You're a victim.
Shut I'm a up. Victim of 400 years of conditioning.
Shut up.
The man has programmed my conditioning. Mm-hmm. Even my conditioning has been conditioned.